Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Oh, we'll get to Bloomberg. There's news, a new poll, a new Bloomberg poll. We'll get to that coming up. The fake impeachment, is that on again today?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, who's going to watch this? You know, they made some rules before they started just to torture the hell out of these senators. There's a rule, they don't usually do this, there are no electronic devices allowed. So when you see these guys sitting there, these are 12-hour sessions, no phone, no devices of any kind, no reading material is allowed except, the trial material. So can you imagine that in 2020, try to go without your phone all day?
That's a good exercise.
It's not easy.
Well, should be paying attention. This is riveting testimony.
Nobody can listen to this. This is awful.
The heck of a nerve to criticize the House for not issuing subpoenas when the president said he would oppose all subpoenas.
I like when he tries to sound serious. This is this little waddling Nadler, this little troll. He never knows what he's talking about. Who else you got here? Here's more Nadler.
So far, I'm sad to say, I see a lot of senators.
Very sad to say. You can feel the emotion in his heart, the tears in his eyes, as this cold-blooded bureaucrat plays his little games. They're talking about a swap now. Democrats are meeting privately to discuss, you've read this.
Yeah, man.
A witness swap. They'll agree to Biden in exchange for Bolton. Isn't that quid pro quo?
Yeah.
Isn't this what they're accusing the president of? This is the worst quid pro quo I've ever seen.
I think the Republicans would come out on top on that swap.
Absolutely. Bolton is not going to give you anything you want, but this is quid pro quo. This is what you went after Trump for. And go back and check that transcript with Donald Trump. It's not a quid pro quo for him. He doesn't gain from it. You could argue that Biden could be the opponent and might help him there. But if that's the case, he doesn't need Ukraine to invest. He could appoint a special counsel. He could have his Justice Department investigate. Check the transcript. What did he say? Do me a favor. Check the transcript. We'd like you to do us a favor. Us meaning the country.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We'd like you to do us a favor. You can ask a foreign country to help the U.S. That's, in fact, you're supposed to be doing that. And I love how they keep saying, oh, yes, he withheld the $400 million. Since when do we owe Ukraine $400 million? How did we end up owing them $400 million?
Well, technically, Congress did appropriate it.
Yeah, I know, but we don't have to. There's no. They say there's a deadline, but there's no obligation, no deadline, no any. We don't owe them $400 million. Well, you withheld it. You're in trouble. Well, they send a 30-day notice. You've withheld the $400 million. You know, to most Americans, you dirty swamp creatures, Schumer, Nadler, Schiff, these kind of people, you know, you have no idea. The middle of America, people are going, what the hell are we even sending for? Why would we send $400 million to Ukraine? I got potholes that need filling. I need new things built. Why are you sending $400 million to Ukraine? It's not like it's a third world country that just somehow, it's not Puerto Rico where they just got through a tsunami. It's a real country with businesses and industries. Why do we owe them money? So, you know, hey, Obama withheld Ukraine aid for the whole 8 years. And during those 8 years, they were invaded by Russia, and Russia seized part of the Ukraine. He still didn't give them the foreign aid. So this whole thing is ridiculous. You don't think this is going to go anywhere, do you?
No, no. Well, unless it could get out of control if the Republicans break and want to allow a lot of witness testimony.
Well, so far, Schumer had four amendments that got voted down 50-something to 47.
Yeah.
Republicans held the line. In fact, not only are Republicans all in the sink and holding the line, looks like there's three Democrats who might switch over, including Joe Manchin. And there's another Democrat who's in a tough race in a red state. You might see three Democrats defect. So keep an eye on that. When does this go on? All day today?
3 days of this stuff.
The great thing is, if you're watching like Fox Business, they don't cover this all day. Like Lou Dobbs is on at 7 like he should be, because that's the show you want to see. But this stupid MSN cancel everything, and they run this stuff. Like somebody wants to watch Pat Cipollone for an hour and a half.
Well, you know, people may want to watch that, but when there's a break, then you end up with these panel discussions.
But the panel discussions aren't like the A-list anchors. I notice they all go home. You know, I'm not sitting there waiting for through 5 minutes every hour. So you end up with those. You see these MSNBC backbenchers they have? It's like all these androgynous guys with glasses, nerds. I don't know who the hell. They all look alike. So,
well, they're having a good time.
I guess. So this is on again for a few days. By the way, Bloomberg is up in the latest poll. Now, these are these very cheap polls with bad metrics, but he is up. He went from 7% to 9%.
See? Advertising's working.
That puts him in fourth place, but not really fourth place. It's fourth place, but it's a very distant fourth place. So he's up 2 points. Now, this cost $187 billion to go up these 2 points. It actually, he spent $230 million to go up 2 points.
That's nothing. Nothing.
So he's going to spend $2 billion. At this rate, he will be up to 20 points, but not till 2026. So what a silly guy he is with this. What happens, I don't know if you know how this works, these consultants, he hires all these political consultants. They make money off the ads. When you buy the ads, they get a commission off the ad buy. That's how they make their money. So if you spend $220 million on ads, they collect about, I don't remember what it is. Is it 8% or 5%? They take like 5%.
It's a pretty good percentage, whatever it is.
So it's like they've already made like $12 million off the ad buy. Now, what happens is when you buy all these ads and you only went, I only went up 1 point. What's going on? And they'll say to you, well, you know, you're not really spending enough. It's not, you really need a full blanket buy. You know, but in New York, I only spent $80 million. Yeah, but this is the whole country. You know, $200 million across the whole country. It's really not much. And they keep getting you to spend more. And this egotistical moron will give him another $500 million. He said he'll go up to $2 billion. What's the
Imagine a commission on that?
Commission on that's like $180 million.
Oh,
so
gosh.
All these consultants saying, absolutely. In fact, they'll bring you this fake data of how, look at this. We turned around this county in Texas through this ad buy. Now, if you do this everywhere and these guys fall for this, so you'll see more of these ads. He's starting to talk a little in his ads about how he's going to stop Donald Trump. Nobody else can stop, but he'll stop Donald Trump. Now, if you're in the middle of America, and he's, wait a minute, well, the economy is booming. Jobs are better than ever. Wages are up for the first time in 20 years. Stock market's an all-time high. China has finally signed phase one of the deal. He got a better Mexico deal. Jobs are coming back. Why are you stopping the guy? Let him go.
Mike will get it done.
Mike will get it done. That's the problem with Trump. Gets nothing done. You know, you don't see him. He's hardly around. Doesn't do anything. The one thing, love or hate Trump, the one thing he does, get everything done all day. In fact, that's what drives you people nuts. He's always doing something.
Yeah, but you know what? I think he really needs to tone it down.
He won't get anywhere alive.
During the impeachment. He started with the stuff, you know, hoax and con job and sleazebag and all this stuff from Davos. And I think he just... hold the tongue until it's over.
This is the funniest thing. I've been doing this with everybody for 4 years. You know, he better tone it down.
But now,
you've been doing this for 4 years. You know, he better tone it down a little.
Well, right now, let him
you said
do that during the campaign.
I could get audio from 2015 where right now, he better tone it down. Right, it's not just you, everybody. He better tone it down.
Well, I think he should with this one.
Every time all of you say, he better tone it down, the next thing you know, he wins again. Remember when he was doing this with China and North Korea and making fun of Mexico? And
yeah.
He better tone it down. When has he failed at anything?
Well, there's always a first time there. The stakes are pretty high.
They were pretty high with North Korea. They were pretty high with China. Killing Soleimani, they were pretty high. Oh, you were doing this 2 weeks ago. Everybody, you better tone it down with these Iran comments.
He can't help himself. He's gonna do it.
It's not about he can't help himself. He's come up with a winning strategy. It sounds crazy. It looks crazy, but he makes it work. It's like one of those pitchers who has a weird motion.
Yeah.
But he made it work. He's been doing it for 20 years. That's his style, and it works. So.
I don't know.
All right. Save this audio. He's going to play this. After the impeachment of you, and it'll get everybody saying, you know, you just better tone it down. Right now, you should tone it down. Tone it up. Remember when he was on here once talking about the tweeting, and he said, nah, I know people tell me I should stop. I said, no, tweet more. And he came to life. He goes, yeah, you're right. I said, yeah, that's you. Keep tweeting. He goes, yeah, you're right. It's like people tell you, oh, don't use your driver. You don't need that much power. So
tweet more. That's what we need.
Yeah, tweet more. Now, hey, you know, today is the 15th wedding anniversary, Donald and Melania Trump.
Oh, really?
15 years. Now, you won't know about this because the media has all gotten together and refused to cover anything having to do with Melania. You remember when Michelle or Laura Bush was first lady? Every cover of every magazine, articles all day. Here's what she likes to wear. Here's what she likes to do. Here she is in the garden. Here's all these first ladies. Hillary Clinton, let's be honest, Michelle Obama, Laura Bush. These are not two of the most exciting women in the world. They look okay, but they're not that great. They're not so great looking.
Well, compared to Melania.
Exactly. Listen, if you were on Tinder and you saw Michelle Obama or Laura Bush, I don't know. You'd have to think about that, which way to swipe on it. Melania, boom, you swipe right away. If you saw Barbara Bush, boom, swipe left.
Oh, boy.
Oh, or any of them. Or who was before that? Nancy Reagan, you know. Yeah. But the most beautiful first lady ever in history can't get a magazine cover, can't get any coverage. The first immigrant in the White House in, like, I mean, I think there was one like in the 1820s, but in modern times, first immigrant in the White House. If that were a Democrat, an immigrant in the White House.
Oh, gosh, can you imagine?
It's all you'd hear about all day. And so it's their wedding anniversary. And you read all these fake stories about they're fighting. She sleeps lives in another city. She hasn't talked to him in 9 years. None of this is true. They get along. I just put it up on Instagram. Take a look at this picture. This is Mar-a-Lago. It's a big party. And they snuck off into a little back room. And you see them. They're on a couch. The lighting is not good because it's like in the dark. And they're holding hands.
Really? Oh,
it's
how nice.
Up on Instagram, Mark Simone NYC at Instagram. And it's not, they didn't know any, because you're not allowed any cameras there. You can't take out your phone and take pictures there. I'm not saying who got this picture, but.
I don't picture him as kind of the romantic guy. He's going to do anything special on his wedding anniversary.
Oh, no, he is romantic. He's very romantic. I guarantee he's ordered some Trump stuff from the Trump store.
The Trump water.
The Trump, that glass set, that crystal set with the Trump stuff. If you go to Trump Tower, you know, they used to make fun of, why does he have Trump steaks? Why does he have Trump glasses? Why does he have Trump water? They never explain that to you. He owns a big chain of hotels, and they never explain to you that every hotel chain does exactly the same thing. Every hotel chain has their own water. You know, if you go in the Ritz-Carlton or the Four Seasons or the Marriott, they got their own brand of water. They got their own shirts with the logo on. You go into any hotel, go to the Ritz-Carlton in the lobby. There's a store with all the stuff the logo on. And anybody that has more than 10 restaurants has a steak company. Ralph Lauren had two restaurants. As soon as he got to five, he has his own steak company. There's all kinds of business reasons why it's better to form your own steak company and sell your own steaks to yourself. You cut out a middleman that way.
Okay.
So they never explain that to you. If you go to any big supermarket, they got their own water.
Sure.
So when you have 1.5 million hotel rooms all over the world, you're going to create your own water. You're not going to just go buy other people's water to put in all those rooms. So that's the real reason he did all that. Ann Coulter will be with us in a few moments. We'll get to this Grammy scandal?
Yeah.
Oh, this is pretty good. And we'll get to crime in New York and all that. Check out the webpage. This goofy Michael Bloomberg, one of the funniest things as mayor was when he would speak Spanish. So we dug up some of it. Watch this video. He's just so preposterous speaking Spanish with this thick Southampton accent. And then watch this. It's so long ago. Nobody can remember. But here's some video of the Clinton impeachment. Compare it to today, and you'll be shocked to see it's a lot of the same people. And then watch this fake news Jim Acosta get confronted on the street. It's pretty funny. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark 710WOR.com/Mark.
Here is Mark Simone on 710WOR.
Whoa, let's take some calls. Let's go to Jeff in Long Island. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, I like to do the top 10 reasons to listen to Mark Simone this year.
All right.
Number one.
Probably three of them will be okay. Go ahead.
No, they'll all be good. Number one, Vincent. Number two, Michael Goodwin. Number three, Ann Coulter yells at Donald Trump over the wall. Number four, Vincent. Number five, Lionel gives cranky critiques. Number six, Vincent.
Hey, wait a minute, wait a minute. These are all great, but how come none of them are me?
Oh, they're coming up, up. Coming up, just wait. Best to last. Seven, Mark asked
Joe Biden. I don't mean to interrupt, but you know, you're supposed to do it the other way. 10, 9, 8, 7. You're supposed to end up at number one, not at 10.
Oh, I don't watch that liberal TV stuff.
Right.
Mark asked Joe Bartlett when he's leaving the golf. Number eight, Lionel yells at Mark for calling some politicians a nice person, but. Number nine, Mark gives political therapy. And number 10, more Vincent.
Well, I was right. You had three, and then you padded with seven other ones.
Well, thank you, Mark.
Very good. That's very good. Thanks for the effort, Jeff. Where are you in Long Island? Oh, he left. Let's go to Marilyn in Brooklyn. Hey, Marilyn.
Yes, I want to talk about the impeachment. Now, the president made a mistake when he went to the president of the Ukraine about Joe Biden, but that happened several months ago. It's in the past. Right now, he's not doing anything about it. Not only that, but he doesn't want to do anything about it.
What do you mean he made a mistake? He should go to Ukraine and say, figure out what the hell that Hunter Biden was doing over there.
Yes, but...
There's no but. What the hell was this Hunter kid doing over there?
Yes, that's possible. But,
wait a minute. You got this screw-up drug addict kid, total useless, washed-up kid, never had a job in his life, suddenly gets $8 million to be on the board of directors of a oil company in the Ukraine?
Yes, but this happened in the past. Right now, he doesn't want
to. Every crime happened in the past. Every trial is about something that already happened.
It's not happening now.
Well, there's no trial ever in history about something happening now, like the Harvey Weinstein, whatever it is. It's always about something that's in the past. I don't mean to confuse you, but anyway, thanks for slowing us up here. Let's go to Bill in New Jersey. Hey, Bill.
Mark, Democrats are releasing violent, convicted criminals from prison in Democrats' sanctuary cities like the Animal. Sexually assaulted and murdered a 92-year-old grandmother, Maria Fuerte, in New York City. And Mark, this is terrorism. At the same time, they're picking.
Well, your phone is breaking up, but I got to be honest, I'm not that upset about it. You're a good guy, but that was, I don't know where you were going with that. From what I'm hearing from multiple sources, crime is up 20% in New York. Up 20%. I know the crime statistics show it's, they've found ways to move around those numbers and declassify things as no longer crimes or move things into next quarter or that. But I don't think they're going to be able to hide it much longer. It's going to come out.
It's got to go up.
Yeah, no, it's up.
Just listen to the news stories.
It's been up for a while, but it's going to start to. They're going to have to start reflecting it in the numbers. And it's a problem. And if you walk around Manhattan, if you live in Manhattan, you know it's become a homeless camp. And not just homeless, but like menacing homeless people, especially late at night, panhandling, demanding money. A lot is going on. And the Upper East Side, I think this is deliberately, they've kind of screwed up the Upper East Side, opening homeless shelters all over the place, removing police from there. And at night, it can be kind of a dangerous place to walk around.
Well, the other thing is bail reform. I mean, this guy robbed banks, six banks in a row, and they can't keep him in jail.
Yeah, now, other states have done this bail reform. So you'll hear all these liberals argue, bail reform, we need it. Other states, 47 states, I think, have done it. The difference is they all have a big, big clause in there that the judge can use some discretion. So if it's a, first-time offender, nonviolent, you don't have to have bail. But if it's a multiple offender, career criminal, and he's violent, the judge can demand bail. So we're the only state that doesn't have that, that gives the judge any leeway.
But you imagine a guy who has robbed six banks.
Yeah.
Is arraigned before a judge and the judge has to let him go?
Yeah. So if it's a one-time, first-time, but this is one, the sixth-time guy, judge, no bail. That should be the way. Now, from what I hear, Governor Cuomo's going to try to fix that. And not that he's Mr. Conservative, but he sees it's going to hurt Democrats election-wise. Yeah. So he's got to go to Carl Heastie, the legislative leader, and make a deal. What they do is Heastie will demand something. He needs money for a project. He needs a bridge in his community. He needs a road. So he'll get it in exchange for this.
Right.
I think that is that. What do they call that?
Quid pro quo.
Quid pro quo. There it is. Well, I guess we'll have to impeach him. Quid pro quo. Now you'll hear all these liberal DAs and liberal politicians say, "Well, why should Harvey Weinstein be walking around free when a poor kid can't afford bail?" Well, there's a reason for that. Harvey Weinstein isn't a criminal out in the streets. Robbing people or stabbing people, or he's not a threat to anybody walking around the street. He only, his crime was in his business, in his world involving, you know, movie business people. So if you're not, he's not a threat to anybody walking around on the street.
Right.
That's different from a guy who holds up people or mugs people. That's why that guy can't walk around. So there is a difference. And you know what's interesting? I was trying to figure this out for the last few days. A lot of these times bail's 400,000, bail's a million, bail's 3 million. That's a lot of, you know, there's thousands of these criminals. So yeah. Wouldn't that be hundreds of millions in bail money?
Well, they only put a small percentage down.
Well, that's to the bail bondsman. Yeah, but I started asking everybody, where's this bail money, this 100 million of bail money? Where is it? Court hold it? Is it in a fund? So, believe it or not, I asked everybody in our justice system, our legal system, and nobody knew.
Really?
Nobody knows where the money actually is. And then I found out it isn't anywhere. It's never actually paid. You know, like if it's $1 million bail, you give the bail bondsman $100,000 or whatever.
Yeah, and it's like 10%. Yeah. 10% or maybe even 1%?
Yeah, well, I don't know. So, like if it's 500,000 bail, you put up 20,000. But apparently the bail bondsman never has to put up the bail. It's never put up anywhere. It's
only
never
if
delivered.
You don't show up.
Only if you don't show up. Yeah. Then they get it from the bail bondsman. Right. But so the bail is never delivered anywhere to anybody.
It's pretty good business.
Yeah. It's a pretty good, well, it depends. I mean, you got to be careful who you're giving the money to. But usually, I think I would assume the bail bondsman is careful about.
Yeah, sure.
He makes sure you got a house or something he can attach if he has to. Anyway, let's go to Jerry in Manhattan. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Mr. New York.
Yes.
Three quick comments, and I'll hang up and list your. I can't wait for this guy to get out of office, the mayor. When is the election date? Secondly, can you imagine these thugs walking around Bensonhurst and trying to hit people? They'd be waiting for them with baseball bats, pipes, and whatever. And,
yeah.
You know, it's funny. I mean, not funny, but.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So, the third thank you is. I forgot.
Okay. Well, I could see you did not miss happy hour last night. Yeah.
I'm happy now.
No, I can tell. Say hello to your friend, Mr. Beam there, Mr. James Beam.
Oh, right.
Take care. You know, whenever they say, I want to ask you, I'll hang up and listen for the answer.
Yeah, right.
Never give the answer. Let them sit there and listen for it. So, we like a happy audience there. When we come back, Ann Coulter will be with us. We'll see. She used to work in Congress. I think she might have been around for the last impeachment. Well, I'll ask her about that and about yesterday's impeachment. We'll get to that coming up on 710 WOR. Let's get the latest news. Here's Joe Bart.
Listen to what you missed whenever you want. It's Mark Simone on demand. Catch his podcasts at 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
On 710 WOR.
Well, Ann Coulter, of course, one of the biggest and best-selling authors in the country. Her latest book, Resistance is Futile, a big number one bestseller. If you haven't read it yet, get the book, Resistance is Futile. And, of course, you can get the new column. Follow her on Twitter, Ann Coulter Twitter, and you can get everything at anncoulter.com. Ann Coulter, how you doing? Oop, I don't hear her. Let me see. Ann Coulter, are you there? All right, we'll get it. We'll get it. Are you there now?
I am here now.
I hear you now. There you go. So, hey, all of your books, did one of them deal with the impeachment of Bill Clinton?
The very first one. Why, thank you for asking. High Crimes and Misdemeanors,
yes,
the case against Bill Clinton. I had a little summary last week to let young people know what they're missing.
And you were working in Congress at one time, weren't you?
Yes, I worked for the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Uh-oh. And,
uh-oh. I did a lot of great stuff on immigration that the New York Times complained about for the next 5 years.
Yeah, be honest, are you actually able to sit there and watch this stuff yesterday? It's too boring. I can't watch it.
Nope, I watched none of it. Oh. It was only late in the evening. I guess I was getting ready for bed, and I thought, okay, fine, I'll turn it on for a few minutes. And I have to say it must have been one of the highlights of the day. It was, what time was it? It was close to midnight, and Jerry Nadler waddled up to the mic and just gave the most hysterical speech, accusing Senate Republicans of being part of the cover-up, calling the White House lawyers liars. And I'm just sitting there imagining Nancy Pelosi, you know, sobbing uncontrollably as she watches the possibilities of her retaining her speakership dwindle every time that guy steps to the mic.
And what cover-up? They released the transcript. Here's the whole thing.
I know. It was just there. Well, I don't know if you remember this, but during the Clinton impeachment, Sean Wilentz testifying before Congress with much the same, you know, pleasant, appealing demeanor as Jerry Nadler screaming at the House managers, "History will track you down and judge you." Republicans. Republicans have a lot of problems on their side. We got the nuts, the Todd Akins. We have the sellouts. We have the Koch brothers with their demand for cheap labor. The problems, I'm sure there are more than these, but the two main problems I see with the Democrats, that within the Democrats, the ones most anxious to be on TV are the ones you would most want to keep off TV.
Yeah. And what about this?
And the other one is the feminists. I mean, this crazy endorsement thing the New York Times did the other day, where they endorsed two candidates, and I can't help but notice both of them are gyno-Americans.
Well, but they also said, if you want to go far left, here's the one that you should go with. If you want to go middle of the road, here's the one you should go. Isn't that the point of the endorsement?
But you have to pick a woman.
Yeah, but the point of the endorsement is pick a direction, isn't it? Here's what we should do.
No, that's true, but to keep driving home the point I'm making about feminists being a drag, very bad for the Democratic Party, I mean, this is sort of an offshoot of a point I'm constantly making, which is, I don't know that all of this idiotic discrimination and racial preferences is a good idea, or vast welfare schemes, but at least let's get clear what is the one group in America we owe special solicitude to. And that is African Americans, the descendants of American slaves. As I'm always pointing out, no, we have, you know, every you know, special interest identity group jumping on the black bandwagon, from, you know, gays, transgenders, immigrants. What have we done to immigrants? You just got here.
Yeah.
with African Americans, it's the legacy of slavery, the legacy of Jim Crow, both Democratic policies, I might add. But of all the groups demanding special treatment because of their group identity, women have got to be the most absurd.
Well, also, women are a majority.
Most wonderful lives in the globe. Search history. Search the world for, you know, the American woman from 1900 until, I don't know, the feminists came along and decided, oh, no, get out of the house. You should be working, too.
Yeah, well, and women are not a minority. They're a majority in this country.
Right. Another reason they're my favorite minority group. And look at that thing. I mean, it was a feminist passion that drove Elizabeth Warren in her snotty little attack on Bernie Sanders in the debate. Was it last week? I can't even remember. Whenever the most recent debate was. It's much like the Trump resistance. To get me feeling sorry for Bernie Sanders, you really have to be a total rhymes with witch word. And boy, was she. I mean, I don't think her claim is particularly believable. I think Bernie makes a good case. No, that would be an idiotic thing to say. Why would I say it? I mean, Ann Coulter would say it. I don't think Bernie Sanders would say it, that the country doesn't want a woman president. As I pointed out in a tweet, and perhaps this wasn't clear, when I've remembered a conversation that someone else doesn't remember, the natural way of expressing that is, no, remember that day? It was snowing. we were eating at En Bon Pain. Remember that? We just finished talking about child care. Yeah. You come up with things to remind the person of when it happened, what was said during the conversation. No, she just says, oh, are you calling me a liar? No, I say you said it. Are you? And then when he goes to shake her hand and she pulls it away and says, I believe you just called me a liar on national TV. Well, okay, but so she called him a liar. They disagree about something.
It's his fault. He always backs down. He should have said, everybody's called you a liar. You're always being called a liar. Don't blame me.
Oh, I'm not saying that he is the most manly of men here. No. Don't get me wrong. He does always back down. But you see the point I'm formulating here, which is that feminists are going to be the death of the Democratic Party.
The dumbest one was when they announced the Academy Awards and no woman was nominated for Best Director, and all these Hollywood women were screaming, why were no women nominated? Because they didn't make very good films that year. That's all.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Make better movies, you'll get nominated.
It's actually surprising that Hollywood did not bend to political correctness and feminism on a lot of these issues. One of my Hollywood friends says he thinks it's because, Deadline Hollywood, that used to be the go-to place for the entire industry. If you want to find out what's going on, you know, a car accident in the Paramount parking lot, you could get it in the comment section on Deadline Hollywood. And he said he's noticed over the past few years a lot of the, you know, craft services types, the crew, the gaffers, seem to have been adding their own comments to the Deadline Hollywood, and they're not quite as woke as the producers and actors.
Comment section should be eliminated from everything online. There should be.
They're my favorite part.
Oh, okay, but
that's where you get the most interesting the most interesting data.
Well, that's true, but you also get the stupidest comments too.
Fair point, but that, as opposed to the New York Times editorial page where, you know, 9 out of 10 are stupid?
All
right. Well, comments has a better record than that.
Hey, everybody, check out Ann Coulter on Twitter. She's tweeting all day, every day. You know, great stuff there on Twitter. And the new column comes out later tonight. And get the book, Resistance is Futile. Also, go back. Can you still get High Crimes and Misdemeanors? That's a good book on impeachment.
Yes, you can. It's very good. As I've said before, if the truth about impeachment were helpful to Democrats, they would be citing High Crimes and Misdemeanors all over the place.
Well,
but it was just the truth with me having no idea what would be coming.
Yeah, if you haven't read it, go get High Crimes and Misdemeanors, the book, a good book on impeachment, and go to AnnCoulter.com. And Ann Coulter, thanks for being with us.
Good to talk to you, Mark Simone. Bye-bye.
Right, take care. Oh, and everybody check out the webpage. Good stuff up there. Now, what was that Clinton impeachment? What did that look like? Well, here's some video. Take a look at the Clinton impeachment, and you'll be shocked. It's a lot of the same people looking much younger in the Clinton impeachment. Also, watch. Here's another silly, ridiculous Michael Bloomberg moment. Remember he used to try to speak Spanish with this thick Southampton accent? Watch this video. Oh, also watch. Here's fake news Jim Acosta getting confronted in the street. It's pretty funny. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.Mark.